I'm Grant Gonot, and this is the 13th episode of the Modcast, where we're going to talk about why we can't solely rely on emotions in the Christian life. Please right now subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on Instagram, and all of our audio platforms to the podcast and website will be in the link in the description. So to start things off, Beck's going to kick it off.
Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Genesis 3 and the fall of man. Before the fall, right, Adam lived in perfect harmony with the Lord, right, and Eve for a little bit. And they weren't meant to die physically. Their emotions were intact. Their mind was intact and in harmony and in step with the Lord. And then when the fall came, not only did it affect our bodies, but it affected our emotions too, because that is part of the chemical reaction that happens inside of our bodies. And so right now, we live in a fallen state where we can't always trust our emotions, right? And sometimes they lead us to do things that are sinful because the flesh is what we're born into, right? The works of the flesh. And we have to be born of the Spirit for these things to be renewed. And so, our emotions are fallen and we can't always trust them. So what else do we trust, right? Looking at Hebrews 12, we have an example of what Jesus trusted, right? He wasn't led by his emotions, right? He had emotions, right? He cried. He was joyful. He was angry at the temple, but he was never sinful when he was using them, right? And so it's not bad to use emotion. God made them. God has them. But it's when we use them wrongly or we trust in them to lead us is when we fall into error. And so looking at this, Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, "We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus Christ knew what he had to do. He trusted in the will and the word of God that was set forth in the Old Testament that predicted and prophesied that he would come and die a painful death on the cross to reconcile man back to God. He knew that. It still was shameful, right? It says despising the shame. The Roman soldiers mocked him, right? They tore his clothes off. He was naked on the cross. They put King of Kings above his cross. They put a crown of thorns on his head to poke at him and to mock him and to degrade him. And Jesus said, "Yeah, I have these feelings of shame, but I'm going to push those aside and do what I need to do." Mm-hmm. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was crying and saying, "If there's any other way, Lord, let this cup pass from me." Mm-hmm. Right? He was crying. He knew the anguish, the torture, the pain, the hurt, the shame that it was going to cause. And yet he said, "But there's no other way," right? "I have to do this. It's the will of God. It's the word of God. It's going to come forth." And so we see a perfect picture there of Jesus who felt real emotion, but his ultimate authority on what to do, on how to live, wasn't what he felt. It's by what he knew. Because if we go by what we feel, it's going to be a roller coaster. Who knows? Sometimes I feel super happy and good. Sometimes I'm depressed and sad. Mm-hmm. I can't live by how I feel because I never know how I'm going to wake up that day. I'm going to have no moral code to obey. So we have to go off the word of God and the will of God and what God says we need to do. Mm-hmm. And then we push aside the feelings, not saying that we never use emotion like what we're talking about. Jesus cried. Jesus was happy. Jesus wept and was angry, but he used them in the right context.
Yeah. And so going from that, John 11 is another place to look, the account of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And in verse 38, we're not going to go through the whole passage, just this verse here. It reads in verse 38, John 11, "Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it." The stone, the cave where Lazarus was buried, and a stone lay against it. But in that first part of verse 38, it says, "Then Jesus, again groaning in himself." That word groaning there in the Greek doesn't mean like, "Oh man." That word means like, when you study the Greek of it, that he cried out in his spirit to the Father, that he was grieved by Martha and Mary's reactions to what was going on, everyone weeping around him. Jesus was in a place where many people were weeping over Lazarus's death, and he was alongside them, weeping with them. Mm-hmm. And what's beautiful about this is that we know that our God is omniscient. He knows all. And even though he knew that in just a couple verses later, that he would raise Lazarus out and tell Lazarus to come out, he was in the moment with these people weeping with them. Even though he knew the outcome, he was still such a loving father and loving God that he exhorted emotion, but he wasn't controlled by it, because emotions are a good indicator of things, but they're not to solely be trusted. Mm-hmm. And so that word groaning there means that he was there with them, and he was truly grieved within his spirit, within himself. And so Jesus did show emotion, and we also do show emotion. And the fact that God gives us emotion shows us that he wants us to love him. If we didn't have emotions, because we get to choose what we do with our emotions, mm-hmm. and our emotions can be used to bring glory to God, or they can be used to pull us far away from him. Now, mm-hmm. emotions aren't sinful either. It tells us how we are to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and a lot of times we might not think good thoughts, mm-hmm. but it's what we do with those thoughts and how we emotionally react to them. And so the Lord gives us the power to be able to react to our emotions in a positive and healthy way. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, that's John 11 is a great place where we see Jesus show emotion that's not a positive rejoicing emotion, but one where he's grieving with mm-hmm. others. A lot of times we're grieved with certain circumstances, and Jesus is here with mm-hmm. us. And that's comforting to know that the Lord is there with us always to comfort us. Even though he knows the outcome, he's always there present with us, because he knows that we don't know mm-hmm. the outcome to everything, but he does, and mm-hmm. he comforts us with that. And so just one other comforting scripture to look at is in the Minor Prophets, Zephaniah chapter 3. We read about the Lord. We just read about in how John 11, how the Lord was grieved. But then we also learn how the Lord also has emotions of joy over us. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, it reads, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. Mm. He will rejoice over you with singing." Now, as Christians, as believers in Christ, that is beautiful. Mm-hmm. To know that as filthy we are as sinners, that the Lord will still rejoice over mm-hmm. us with singing. And what this is talking about here is the new age to come, mm-hmm. the new church, the new Jerusalem, the believers, the ones that truly choose Christ. He rejoices over us with gladness. He's glad in us. We just talked about how he was weeping, but he has the same emotions we do. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord has emotions, so do we. How are we reacting with our emotions? Mm-hmm. We can look at the Lord and see many emotions that we also show as humans, and they're great indicators of how we should go about handling our emotions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just cool to see, talking about God the Father, he made us in his image. And so as we see in the Bible that he has emotion, you know, like so do we. And just kind of looking at those, sometimes we think of God as kind of like an emotionless. Some people think of him as like this, just being this ogre, this orb in the sky that kind of just dictates and rules. But Isaiah says that he longs to show compassion to his people. Mm-hmm. That's very emotional. God's grieved by sin. He hates it. It's not like it's like a very clear cut thing in scripture that he hates and is grieved and mourns over sin. God gets angry, right? He's going to take out his wrath, and he has to take it out on sin. And so he loves us, right? He loves us, like, not just by choice, but by feeling too, like he's intensely in love with us. Yeah. And we're going to be his bride. So we are his bride. So we see these things laid out. We see how God has emotion. We see how Jesus has emotion. And then we know that we have emotion ourselves. So it's kind of looking and seeing and looking at the indicators that they cause, right? Because emotions sometimes, you know, if we're angry one day, We got to get down to the root of it. Why are we angry? Is it a sinful reason? Because that, if it's a sinful reason, then that's a not a good emotion to feel. If it's a righteous reason, if we were slow to anger, and it's a righteous anger that God would have, that Jesus had at the temple, then that's a good emotion. And so just make sure that you're looking, because emotions are often a good indicator of where you're at spiritually and if there's something wrong spiritually. And so just make sure you're examining yourself. You're always praying about these things, that even our emotions are pure before the Lord, and even those are worthy and worship unto Him, right? The way we live, ultimately, what we were talking about, has to be dictated, though, by the Word of God, or else we're going to be super unstable, and we're going to be double-minded, like it says in James, and we're going to be just tossed about like the wind, just crashing against our boat, because we have nothing really to go on, nothing really to hold us down firm, and so we need to rely and go back always to the Word of God, mm-hmm. to keep us steady, to keep us grounded.
Yeah, and going from that, we can also just look in scripture and find many characters who showed emotion, because they are also human like us. We see David mourning a lot. It's not an uncommon thing. We see Job is a big character who has all of his wealth stripped away from him, family stripped away from him, just all of everything. Everything that you necessities to live, and things that he had that were, he was a blessed man, and Satan knew that and wanted to strip him of that. Mm-hmm. And what was Job? He wasn't led by his emotions, because most people, I'm sure in this present day and age, we can't even get a glimpse of what Job was going mm-hmm. through. He even had his friends turn against him. And guess what? He remained faithful to the Lord. We do see his emotions. He cries out many times and is wondering why, mm-hmm. rightfully so. But at the end of the day, God says, who is it that controls the weather? Who is it that does all these things? Like, my thoughts are so much higher above yours. Trust mm-hmm. me, I'm in control. And Job then is struck in awe and realizes that. And at the end, we see just how Job plays out. But we see that if Job were to have lived by his emotion, it would have been a totally different picture than what the narrative actually plays out to be. Because if he were led by emotion, a lot of people would have just quit right off the bat. And that's what Satan was aiming for. There was a lot of spiritual warfare in Job's life, but he prevailed through what? He obviously knew the objective truths and attributes of God as well. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. The more we know God's word, the more we're going to know how to handle our emotions. The less we know God's word, the more we're going to be led astray by our mm-hmm. emotions. And the world today obviously has a lot of psychological theories to offer us to try and help us do X, Y, Z, and we'll feel better. There's a lot of self-help books, but in Isaiah it talks about how the Lord is the mighty counselor, mm-hmm. and he counsels us through his Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and that's something that the church often forgets today, is that the Spirit is still alive and being able to heal people in places and help them with their emotions more than man-made things, mm-hmm. but the Word of God is actually... Jesus talks about in John how thy word is truth, how this truth is what sets us free and sets us on fire for the Lord. Mm. And that's how we are to deal with our emotions, as we talked about. So, yeah, do you have anything else to add as we close out?
I don't think so.
And so, yeah, our emotions are real, and our emotions are to be dealt with by the Word of God. And so our prayer is that we allow the Word of God to influence our emotions and guide them, and that we do take them seriously, and that we're open about our emotions to brothers and sisters in the faith, because they care about them as well, and the Lord cares about our emotions too, and we're his children, and he'll always treat us right. So thank you for tuning into the 13th episode of the Modcast, where we talked about why we can't solely rely on emotions in the Christian life. So please subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on Instagram, and this, as well as all of our other podcasts and website, will be linked in the description. Thank you. Peace.